morning, everyone. That's right.
Good morning, come on. Mr. Azer.
Such a good opportunity.
What?
Robin Williams just passes away and you start like that? You could have screamed good morning.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, that's right. You're a horrible
person. I would have loved to have paid homage to Robin Williams. But it is Tuesday, August 19th, and we are doing morning podcasts now. So how about that? Tuesday morning's a great morning for football.
Hey, what did Manziel do to the Redskins bench last night?
Is that what you're doing to me?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, man. Nobody wants to start at quarterback for the Browns, apparently. We'll talk about that game, but it's Sleepers Day here on Fantasy Football Today. So on Saturday, by the way, I don't know if we're going to have a podcast on Friday because we've got early flights. Well, at least Dave and Jamie do.
I thought we were going to do Tuesday.
We'll try. I just can't
God, you're so
promise
lazy.
That you guys have early flights to Boston or to Providence. You'll be at the CBS scene with me on
Saturday.
You
want to give our hotel rooms too?
On Saturday.
I don't think they're going to be hanging out at the airport for us. I know they like us.
I'm joking.
But I don't think they're going to be at the airport Friday morning.
Adams and Rune 14C.
Welcome us to Providence.
All right. Anyway, Saturday, CBS scene in Foxborough. We'd love to see you there. Go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty for more details. Going to be giveaways and prizes, and you'll meet us.
Do you know what we're giving away?
No.
Patriots tickets.
Oh, really?
Autographed memorabilia. All sorts of cool stuff. Spots in the mock draft to kick off the event.
And I'll be at the game Friday night. You guys will be there, too, but you'll be covering it. I'll just be in the stands, so say hi. We've got an email. Email of the day. It's from Zach Ertz's biggest fan. It says, Dear Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato, I recently heard Dave say that he's been dating Zach Ertz. I just wanted to let him know he should back off because I am involved in a full-on love affair with Zach Ertz.
Oh, my.
As you all know, he has massive upside in Chip Kelly's offense, and I feel like he could easily put up top five tight end numbers. I'm in a 12-team PPR flex league in which you can use a tight end as a flex, and my draft's not until Labor Day weekend. I think by then I'll need to take Ertz with a late 6th or early 7th round pick. Am I being too bold to take him that early as my flex and possibly pick up a tight end like Olsen, Pitta, or in an ideal world, Rudolph a round or two later? Yeah. True love is blind, so I'm hoping to get an outsider perspective.
Yeah, at some point, these guys that we love get so hyped up that they get taken so soon. Mm-hmm. If it was a late 7th round pick, maybe I'd be okay with it. But I'm prepared to start taking him in round 8. I don't know if I can take him in round 7. And I love him, but knowing that Kyle Rudolph is going to be behind him, knowing that Dennis Pitta is going to go in round 7, as much as I love Zach Ertz and his upside, I'm not going to get away from Dennis Pitta. I've got Pitta ranked higher. And if I'm in a draft where Jamie's not in there, Pitta might fall to me in round 7.
And I don't think
I've been in drafts where Jordan Cameron's been in round 7. I'll take those guys ahead of Ertz.
I don't think you want to start a tight end as your flex in a PPR league.
Why not? It depends on the tight end, Adam.
Yeah, because they don't catch as many balls. And I think if you, in the 6th or 7th round, if you're picking your flex there, there's probably better wide receivers available than tight ends. Just a guess. Like, I drafted 2 tight ends, maybe thinking if I have some injuries, I'll end up starting Martellus Bennett as a flex. But I don't think you go into a PPR draft where Jordan Cameron had 80 catches last year and that was the 3rd most at the position. I don't think you go into a PPR draft and say, I'm going to take a tight end as my flex.
Not if you're doing it in round 7 or 8.
If we're talking later
on, this is kind of
but
the
you
deal.
Probably
I'll give you an example. I was in a draft last night that's 3 receivers, and I had the 8th pick. I took Graham at 8, his PPR league, and then the draft just kept the way the draft unfolded. I forget what round it was, but it was maybe round 8, 9, 10 range. I don't recall exactly. And Jordan Reed was still sitting there. So I took Jordan Reed with the idea of, okay, bye weeks, this is going to be a flex option for me.
Yeah, bye weeks. Plus, that's a 3 receiver league.
There are circumstances, though, that you can't just say discount it completely. Because like you said, Jordan Cameron was the guy I was thinking of when you were talking to this, that if you get a Jordan Cameron season of 80 catches from somebody, whether it's Ertz or Reed or Pitta or whoever that group is going to be of, well, you're taking flex options.
Yeah, but you don't go into a PPR draft thinking you're going to take
I'm not saying you go into it. That statement is true. But if it just falls to you in the right spot and you're debating I'm trying to think of a guy, you know, Terrence Williams comes to mind, you know, somebody that's not going to catch a ton of passes but should be very good. Versus the same, you know, the numbers could be similar. Like, I think Terrence Williams is like, you know, 65 catches. The yardage should be better in his favor, but the touchdowns could be the same. But the catches can negate the yards for that tight end.
So, Who's a sleeper tight end that you guys like since we're talking sleepers? Are there any more sleeper tight ends since everybody loves
I mean,
Ertz
everybody
and
knows
now?
Ertz and Rudolph. Ladarius Green would be another one. I just love the athleticism, and I think he's going to end up playing a lot more than he did last year in San Diego. So that's probably the third one. That's the backup sleeper to Ertz and Rudolph.
Yeah, I like Keith Miller. I think what we saw 2 years ago is going to return, you know, 60 catches, around 700 yards, and, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 touchdowns.
Yeah. Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I was with him in that event in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He agrees. He thinks Heath could have a big year.
Yeah, and we're seeing it just unfold in the preseason. It's Travis Kelce. You know, I mean, I've been saying it all offseason that I like the opportunity for this kid because they need a second receiver. You know, when you're starting Donnie Avery, it's not a pretty scenario.
But and you're thinking more like 14-team league for Kelce?
I don't think anybody should be starting Kelce, but if you're in – I don't know if it's a 14-team league, but if you're in a 15-plus round draft, mm-hmm. and – you're talking about Brandon LaFell and James Jones, and you know I'm just happen to be writing a receiver story here, and I'm looking at the last group of receivers from ADP, 61 through 71. Tell me if Travis Kelce is better than these guys, and the answer is no to a few of them. So I'm not just but Greg Jennings, Kenny Britt, James Jones. This is the last 12 receivers being drafted. Greg Jennings, Kenny Britt, James Jones, Marquise Lee, Aaron Dobson, Brandon LaFell, Rod Streeter, Miles Austin, Andrew Hawkins, Jericho Cotchery, Robert Woods, and then I threw on there because we only go through 71, Andre Holmes. But it could be John Brown. It could be any one of those, you know, young, up-and-coming type receivers. But I think the tight ends have as much potential, if not more.
Yeah. No, you make a good point. All right, injuries, news, and notes. Rob Gronkowski participated in full-team drills for the first time yesterday. He expects to play in 16 games.
Yeah, he said he wants to play in 16 games. I want to ride down a giant scoop of ice cream. We all want things, Adam.
Well, yeah. One is realistic, and then there's Gronkowski playing 16 games. I think it's possible he could. You know, it's a matter of how he'll play 16 games.
Where are you taking him right now?
Round 2.
Late round 2.
Early round 2 PPR or still late?
I'd consider it.
Probably closer to the middle.
Ellington or Gronk PPR?
If I go running back round 1, I take Gronk round 2.
Yeah, that's a good game plan.
Arizona activated Tyrann Mathieu off the PUP list, tore his ACL and LCL last year. But
Darnell Dockett
tore his ACL.
Yeah, not that he's good in IDP leagues, but he's a big part of their D-line.
They lost 3 huge pieces.
Yeah, that all of a sudden the NFC West defenses are starting to crack a little bit. Just so you know, San Francisco's had some injuries,
and
now Arizona. I don't know if Matthew's going to be ready for week 1. That could be a stretch. They shouldn't rush him back.
LeSean McCoy has a minor case of turf toe, and Jamal Charles has an injured foot.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Remember last year?
Charles, right?
Charles
had the injury. Spiller got hurt in the preseason game. I think it was against the Redskins, right?
It was.
Hurt his knee?
Yeah.
It's funny. I was sitting with our boss, Peter Madden, yesterday. We were talking about our radio show Saturday night. And we said, oh, you know, we were going over injuries and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, we haven't really had, like, the major – guy get hurt, right? Like a big name.
No, David guy. Wilson's the biggest for running backs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had Isaiah Pede, you had Wilson, you had, you know, Watkins hurt his ribs. You know, there hasn't been that just big
we've
name.
We've dodged a lot of bullets.
Yeah,
big name.
Sam Baker.
Or that's... big injury. Yeah, I said that to him. You know, the biggest one is an offensive lineman. And so, but these little things, the people that are still in the Adrian Peterson camp, or maybe in the Matt Forte camp, or in the Peyton Manning number one overall camp, these things are all going to knock these running backs down in their minds, and they're going to say, I don't want this particular player. And Dave and I were having this conversation yesterday where, Dave, you said you don't want the number one overall pick.
I don't think I do.
I think
I don't
a lot,
think I want. I know what I take.
Want?
I know, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah, but you're still going running
league.
Back there.
Yeah, but I don't want to say I'm not confident in Jamal Charles. I know I'm taking Jamal Charles if we're drafting today. We have a draft today. I think I have the 3rd pick. I'm going to end up with either Charles, Forte, or McCoy.
And I have 4, right?
You have 4, I have 5. I don't know if you're 3rd.
Well, let's pretend I had 3rd, okay. Just for the sake of this conversation.
Maybe you are. I don't remember. I just know that Adam always...
No, I'm very excited about having a top 4 pick in the standard scoring league. Yeah. That's the pick I want. I want 4.
Yeah, 4 or 5 is really where I want to be in a standard. PPR, it's got to be like 4.
I don't know if you've gotten this question or not because of how well he played last year. Would you take Eddie Lacy over any of those guys?
Originally, I had Lacy ahead of AP in February.
See,
and then I kind of came to my senses.
It's funny because people really don't complain about Adrian Peterson. And I know it's because you haven't seen him and you're just going off of what you know. But that's he's the one that scares me the most.
Really?
Yeah, because
he got banged up last year.
Well, that's late. The thing. And
he
it's
got banged
it,
up.
Age,
and
the, age
the
is
wear
catching
and tear
up.
Is
wear
up.
And tear is catching
right.
up.
There's a whole article.
Two of the
about.
Last 3 years, he hasn't finished the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's dangerous, too. Let's just see if Charles or McCoy plays in the third week of the preseason.
Oh, I'm almost but guaranteed they're out. Not.
If you're drafting this weekend, first two picks are still Charles and McCoy?
I've always liked Forte ahead of McCoy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would
I
take
always
Forte.
Forget.
Well, yeah, I mean, average draft position. And most other analysts, most other sites have McCoy first. We're someone in the minority.
So
Charles first.
Are you cool with that still, taking those guys as a top three pick?
As of now, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think unless something comes out. Now, again, last year the foot injury for Charles was worse, the reports.
Yeah.
Because
was it a foot or a knee?
The foot.
Okay.
Because I know that's when I made the move to put Spiller ahead of him. Whoop-de-doo. Because it was the foot injury.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was and I remember after the season unfolded, this is the biggest lesson I took away from the preseason was unless it's something that they're out, don't panic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sammy Watkins did not return to practice yesterday, still has the ribs injury.
Yeah, who knows how serious that is. I didn't move him down, by the way.
You didn't?
I kept him right where he's been in my rankings.
Which
he's
is where?
32nd among wide receivers.
All right, Washington and Cleveland played yesterday. I really hate the penalties. Can't deal with it.
Oh, my God, it's so bad. they're going to pull back. They can't go into the regular season.
They said like they're not. I agree with you. I think they will. I don't believe it.
Well, it's almost like who's going to budge first? Is it going to be the defenders changing their approach, or is it going to be the referees changing how they call the game? And I think that's what
the
NFL hopes. Well, I obviously, but I think that's what the NFL hopes is that the penalties will change the how these guys defend.
I don't want to exaggerate, but I mean it is borderline unwatchable. It's frustrating.
It's never
unwatchable. I feel like
it's
almost cheating. I feel like it's not real. I feel like the offense is such an event. Whatever. Different rant for a different show.
So now you're not going to watch football?
I was not enjoying myself last night while I watched that game.
Was
the
it because of the penalties or was it because of the crappy offense?
It was the penalties had a huge – like, you get a stop finally, and then there's this ridiculous legal contact penalty. And this is what I've
seen
all preseason long. It's nowhere even near the ball.
And then the teams get to keep going.
Yeah, it's just – it doesn't feel like real football to me. But anyway –
I wonder if scoring is up in the preseason. Because that would be the fallout.
You would think so. Are there any – major takeaways from yesterday's game?
Yeah, the Browns are not a good passing offense.
Yeah. Tate looked okay.
Ben Tate still
looked great.
Tate looked okay. I actually bumped him up a little bit in my rankings, and Cutler is now well into my top 12 because I moved RG3 down to 12.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm worried about him staying healthy. And it's the same exact argument I made for Cutler, but all things being equal, I think I'd rather have Cutler, and I think he's got a better chance of staying healthy for 14 games than RG3. I don't know. There were certain things, the way that he threw the football, that I didn't really like.
The pick was terrible.
The pick was awful.
But the deep ball was beautiful, yeah. And he is amazing at that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because you keep harping on DeSean Jackson, but that shows you it doesn't always have to be
It doesn't have
DeSean
to be.
Jackson.
Right.
Yeah.
And his first drive was okay.
Roberts can do
I like the way he got read the ball.
Yeah. Did they charge that fumble to him?
Yes.
The one that Alf
RG3?
Dropped?
It bounced off of Alf.
It was clearly on Alf. And they charge it to RG3.
They charge it. Yeah, that's
going to be the quarterback.
Yeah. That's always on the quarterback. I thought Alf looked okay other than that. I know a lot of people
didn't get in from the
one.
Oh,
he got to score a touchdown.
I know.
But
he
it's nice.
He got his head ripped off.
It's nice to see that they gave him the ball that many times to score a touchdown.
Yeah. And Helu didn't do himself any. He had a drop in the game and it blew a pass protection.
Well, Jamie, RG3 was a sleeper for you at one point.
He still is. And this helps. These type of things. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, obviously, there's going to be injury risk with him. It's going to be injury risk with Cutler. It's going to be injury risk with guys that play that style or have that history. So I think you're looking at him as just you have to understand what you're getting. And if he plays to his level, look, he played the same way as a rookie, and he was fantastic.
But he ran the football like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the hardest hit he took was when he ran the ball on the left sideline, mm-hmm. and he tried to lower his shoulder, which to me was dumb.
Slide, dude.
Well, no, you're on the sideline. Just take a step out of bounds.
I thought there was like a defender there.
Then do it a step before. I mean,
yeah.
You know, just
fine. Get out of bounds
or slide. Be smart about it, especially at this time of year. You know, if we're December and you're fighting for a playoff spot, different story. But I think he has too much talent around him to fail if he stays on the field.
Garcon didn't play? Or
he
just didn't do anything?
Yep.
Caught a screen pass.
Oh, he did?
And I believe he drew one of the penalties.
Of course he did. All right. Well,
pretty much
set them
did.
Up first and goal, I believe, on the Morris attempts.
Okay, sorry, missed that one. Team names, Well, we'll do these after. Let's get to the sleepers here. We got some team names yesterday. You know what? I'm not going to criticize anyone because I haven't found very good team names, but the team names that were submitted to us weren't great this year. I'm calling out the listeners to come up with some really good ones. Actually, the funny ones, I couldn't read them. They were
that's what I was worried about. Yeah. It's like the rated R ones.
All right, Jamie's got a bunch of sleepers here. You can read the column. We're actually going to talk about sleepers on the video show today, live noon Eastern time. Also breakouts, busts, and position reviews. But who are some of your favorites right now, Jamie?
Well, these are my favorites. I took the combination of the two sleeper columns that I wrote and just took like a all-star sleeper roster.
Just since we don't have time to go through all of them, who would you like to highlight? Or I'll read them all just so people know.
Sure.
And then you can highlight some. Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer, Devontae Freeman, Terrence West, Lamar Miller, Bernard Pierce, Justin Hunter, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, and Jarrett Boykin, and Kyle Rudolph and Heath Miller.
Am I being a douche if I say some of these are more breakouts than sleepers?
Sure. It's also when I wrote them.
Okay.
Sure, as in you could say it.
Oh, okay.
As in you're a douche.
Yeah, no, okay. Both.
I always go back and forth about who's a sleeper and who's a breakout. The bottom line is that we like these guys.
Sure.
That's all
Yeah. I mean, some of these were written in March, so, you know, what their roles were at the time were a little undefined. Who are you in particular?
Rudolph, I don't think is sleeping up on any. Well, I mean, I've got him as a sleeper too, so maybe he is. Justin Hunter. People who we know already. That
Hunter,
that
I think, could still be a sleeper.
Step.
I think you have.
Yeah,
to,
again, now it's looking like it now, like he's more of a breakout candidate. But when I wrote it in March, did the fantasy community know Justin Hunter was going to be talented?
Not as much.
No. I think we said that you have to have some level of success in the NFL to be a breakout.
That's the way I view it. That if somebody's been moderate to good, and they have the chance to be great.
What about Lamar Miller?
That doesn't count. You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're splitting
It doesn't
hairs.
Matter. Let's just talk about some guys.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like all these guys, so I don't know if there's anyone you want to highlight.
Well, Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I think, again, things like this, like for Terrence West also, just coming off last night's game, when Ben Tate looks good, fine, let him get overdrafted, and I still think that Terrence West, it's going to have similar production with better value. I think Devontae Freeman's going to have good production with good value. So it's just a matter of where you're getting these players. Like in this PPR draft I did last night, Terrence West and Devontae Freeman are my third and fourth running backs. Now, the reason that is because it's a three-receiver league. It's PPR. I went heavy on receiver. I took a tight end in the first round. And so I was picking up running backs as we went along. These are two guys I'm still very confident in.
Well, okay, so Freeman, I just don't really know what it's based on other than the fact that they drafted him. But Jacquizz Rodgers and Anton Smith both running ahead of him. Steven Jackson's still there, obviously. And I don't know that Freeman is a guy that's more than just like a pass catcher. He's kind of tiny.
Well,
it's like what's the difference between him and Trey Mason?
Well, he's playing better.
Is he? Is that really?
Freeman's 1,000 times playing better.
Yeah, Mason's not doing anything.
Yeah, that's not a guy I would compare him to.
But I'm just saying the situation seems similar. Look, they're both kind of buried.
I totally get it that there hasn't been a lot to love about Devontae Freeman after what we've seen through two preseason games. But I still think that there's a guy in front of him who's 1,000 years old in Steven Jackson. And I don't think that they brought in somebody to look like and play like Jacquizz Rodgers because they're similar in stature to a certain degree. Why would you bring that guy in unless you're going to give him an opportunity? Mm-hmm. And I think that the Falcons are doing something of a good thing in making him earn it.
Sure.
Now, that doesn't help his fantasy value because, look, Adams, your question is 1,000% relevant. Okay, Steven Jackson gets hurt. What are they going to do? Because we're seeing it. This is the Falcons without Steven Jackson, right?
Is it possible that Anton Smith becomes their primary
That's where I was going to go.
I don't think that they view him as anything more than a change of pace guy.
But he's the least change
he's
of
had
pacey.
Some, yeah, like, he's the most physical, I think, of who they have.
That's how I see
it. And that's kind of what they like. Our buddy Randy Cross was on Pat Kerwin's Sirius XM radio show, and they brought up Steven Jackson, and Randy's in Atlanta now. He does radio in Atlanta, and he's around that Falcons team a little bit. He thinks Steven Jackson's on the bubble and that there's a chance that Steven could get cut.
No chance.
I tend to agree.
If they were going to do that, they would have done it already.
I see that's part of the reason why I agree. But I think it's probably worth our time to go back and watch those Falcons games and see just how those running backs are used and see if Anton Smith is a deep sleeper.
Yeah.
Because he does have some talent. He had some long runs last season.
Would you rather have Devontae Freeman or Jonathan Stewart?
Freeman.
Freeman.
How about Devontae Freeman or D'Angelo Williams?
Freeman.
Freeman.
Okay. Lamar Miller, are people going to overhype him?
Well, that's the fear now, sure. But I think we'll see what happens this preseason game against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
If Noshon plays and how they use him.
I think there's a lot of reason to be excited about Lamar Miller. I mean, again, he averaged 4 yards per carry last year, which on the surface isn't great, but with the worst offensive line in the world in world history, it's not bad. And he was had a really good yards per carry his rookie year. And that offense had, well, it looked great in the first preseason game, took a little bit of a step back in the second. So, like, would you rather have Lamar Miller or Trent Richardson?
Miller.
Richardson.
Chris Johnson.
I think I have Miller ranked ahead of him because, oh, no. First of all, I have Miller ranked behind Richardson. I should probably fix that. I have Chris Johnson ahead of Lamar Miller.
I think Chris Johnson's, I hate to say it, is probably safer.
How about?
Like, this is the argument for a guy that we talk about and a guy who's might be in a very good opportunity getting too hyped up on draft day and going too early. That's a good guy to target in, I don't know, the round 6 or 7 range, I think.
How about Justin Hunter, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Jared Boykin? How would you rank them?
I have Hunter first.
You don't have Cooks ahead?
Cooks first.
I would say I bet you have Cooks first.
35, Hunter 36.
Yeah, I was going to say Cooks first, Hunter second.
Then Benjamin, then
Boykin. Third, then Boykin fourth.
Are any of those guys particularly better in a PPR league?
I would take Cooks over them, yes.
Okay.
I like Cooks the best, too. And I think I like Benjamin better than Hunter.
I looked at Jake Locker's numbers last year, just as it relates to Hunter. He put up good fantasy numbers, but he threw for, like, hardly any yards.
Yeah.
He was much more of a runner as a fantasy option than he was as a passer. And he gets overlooked in the running quarterback discussion.
But does that mean that Hunter, you know, great preseason game notwithstanding?
Well, I think one of Hunter's best games was like week 2 when Locker was still healthy.
Okay.
And he picked up a bomb.
Jared Boykin, do you draft him in standard 12-team leagues?
I do, but I probably overdraft him because I like to get – same argument for me with Boykin – I'm sorry, with Cooks and with Kenny Stills. I want receivers that play with good quarterbacks. So when we're getting into this muck, and I'll tell you where he's going – in terms of Boykin, his average draft position right now is in the 137 to 151 range.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
very deep.
You're talking late, and here are the guys who are being drafted around him. So this group starts. It's the second to the last group of 12 receivers. Justin Hunter, Kenny Stills, Cecil Shorts, Marvin Jones, who's just on a free fall right now, Brian Hartline, Jarrett Boykin, Steve Smith, Jordan Matthews, Marcus Wheaton, Harry Douglas, Doug Baldwin, Odell Beckham. I'll take Boykin outside of Hunter, the next guy in this group. So I can understand people that like Jordan Matthews because of the offense he plays into. Same type of argument. Harry Douglas, if you believe in him, same type of argument. I just think that Boykin showed enough last year and what they're missing. No James Jones, no JerMichael Finley. You can talk about the tight end. Somebody's going to emerge. That's fine. I just think that Boykin in that third receiver spot with the touchdown production that's going to be replaced from Jones. It's not going to be him, but he's going to catch those passes. And if something should happen to Randall Cobb. The thing I like about Boykin, what he did last year, he did it without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, would you rather have Kenny Britt, like probably the number one guy on the Rams, or Jarrett Boykin?
I would take Boykin.
I would too. And I'm not as big of a Boykin fan as Jamie, but I understand where he's coming from on this.
Are we overlooking Odell Beckham Jr. just because he's been out? I mean, they took him 12th overall. And I wonder if
sometimes... I think he's eventually going to be a great receiver.
Yeah, I just wonder if sometimes
I just don't know
preseason
if it's gonna happen
injuries
I don't see
lower
him.
Guys' values too much.
Yeah, here's the thing. You draft Odell Beckham in like round 12 or round 13. And then after the first few weeks, nothing's doing. Well, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to sit there and wait? No, you cut him, right.
Yeah.
And then by midseason, somebody else picks him up. And maybe by then he takes off. I'd rather be that guy than the guy that drafts.
It's a good comparison because, here I am saying I'd rather have the third receiver on a good passing offense. Do you want the third receiver for the Giants?
I don't know that he is the third receiver. I think he might be the second receiver.
Or in your opinion, he could be the fourth because you're a Jernigan guy.
I actually do like Jernigan. I don't know what's going to happen there. All I'm saying is we like Kelvin Benjamin. We like Sammy Watkins. We like Brandon Cooks. Well, there was a fourth guy who was taken in the first round of the NFL draft, and he's not on anybody's radar now because he's had a hamstring injury.
And he's behind the eight ball and getting the gist of the offense. And
yeah.
But would you
first
rather...
First year in the NFL, and he's not really getting his reps.
Okay.
That hurts.
I'll reference that same group, and I'll put in, because he's the last one of that group in Beckham. So let's just put him in the next group. So tell me who you're drafting Beckham over. Beckham over Greg Jennings?
Yeah.
Beckham over Kenny Britt?
No.
Beckham over James Jones? I know Dave would be no. You'd say yes.
Because what's the upside?
Here's the
guys?
One for you. Beckham or Marquise Lee?
Lee.
Beckham or Aaron Dobson?
Beckham.
Okay. I know where Dave's going on this one. Beckham or Brandon LaFell?
Probably Beckham.
Beckham or Rod Streeter?
Beckham. Streeter.
I'm kind of done with Brandon LaFell, by the way.
Beckham. Right? I'm going to take Beckham because even though he might finish behind all those guys, he has more upside than almost all of those guys.
I don't know if I agree with that.
In my opinion, he does. I don't want a guy that's like on the Raiders.
That's fine. Look, it's a matter of your opinion, but I think, you know, just to completely disparage somebody because of the team they play on.
Who has more upside than him? Does Rod Streeter?
I would take Streeter over Beckham, yeah.
I think Streeter could be more consistent.
Absolutely, but is he going to be consistent enough to start, or is he just going to be like a
you
guy?
You could make the case that Rod Streeter is going to get you 6, 7, 8 fantasy points
and
per
I'm
week,
never
and at the
that.
End, and you're never starting him. And Beckham, for the first 4 weeks, he might total 8 fantasy points. And then he has a breakout game where he's worth 21, and then he's back to 3 the next week. And by the end of the season, he has 2 more fantasy points than Rod Streeter. It's
possible. If you're starting any of these guys, your fantasy team's in trouble.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm only at that point in the draft, I'm pretty much only taking flyers on guys that I think could have breakout years, whether they're rookies or whatever.
I think we've entered the Adam Azer Giants fan vortex.
Yeah. No, this has nothing to do with him. I said Marquise Lee over him.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, he's the only one.
We just spent 3 minutes.
No, I said Kenny Britt over him.
Yeah, but I don't understand the Dobson one.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be a different receiver every game for the Patriots. I don't know that.
And there's not going to be for the Giants?
There could be. I'm not fixating on Odell Beckham. Let's take Kenny Britt.
You love Odell.
No, let's take Kenny Britt, for example. I'll take him as a number one receiver with a quarterback that Dave likes a lot as a sleeper. I'm going to draft him over guys that I think are just like kind of mediocre and will put up decent numbers, but will not be fantasy difference makers.
What you just said, describe Kenny Britt for me.
Then that's the other thing. I mean, at that point, it's all a matter of how you value different guys. But strategy-wise, we probably have the same strategy. You're taking upside late in the draft, right, with those bench spots.
Sure.
What's the point of taking a safe guy who's going to get you 5, 6 points a game?
Well, it depends how you view that guy. I view Streeter a little bit higher light.
Fine, but we have the same philosophy, just you guys view these guys differently.
I'd rather have Jericho Cotri than Odell Beckham.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because he
can
score touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be a guy that if he doesn't score touchdowns, he gives you an absolute dud of a fantasy game.
But he also may be...
You don't want to start that guy.
May play. And Odell Beckham may not because he's got a hamstring history.
Yeah, but this is not a starter for you. So if he doesn't play, you cut him. You pick up Jericho Cotri.
Then why draft him in the... Why draft either
because
of these
he's
guys.
At the 12th pick overall in the draft.
Find a running back.
That's
go
fair.
Go for a stud DST if you want to. It's round 12. And listen... Adam, you have every right in the world. If you think Odell Beckham is going to break out and you're willing to dedicate a roster spot to him for the first half of the season, take him in round 12. Take him in round 11. Take him so somebody falls to me later.
It's not about Odell Beckham. It's about high upside guys late.
Right.
And I consider him to be one since the Giants and most NFL teams seem to really like him.
Maybe that's a talking point we should have later this week, or who are the high upside guys you like late in drafts?
Yeah.
The deeper sleepers.
Well, let's go to Dave's sleepers now. Devontae Freeman is one of them. So is Sam Bradford. All right, where do you think Sam Bradford could end up this year, best case scenario?
Best case scenario, 10th among fantasy quarterbacks.
So he should go draft.
Crazy bullish thing for me to say. I don't think he has to be drafted. It depends on, you know, most leagues, everybody's leagues out there, people are prone to take a second quarterback. So he's a candidate to be that second quarterback for your team. He's also a candidate if you just want to take the approach of just punting on quarterback. You could take Bradford and Russell Wilson or Bradford and Carson Palmer and play the matchups until one of those guys breaks out. And we both like Carson Palmer. I like Sam Bradford. I wouldn't fight you if you go back-to-back rounds 10 and 11 on those guys or 10 and 12. You get Palmer first and then you come back for Bradford because I think a lot of people are going to be scared to take Sam Bradford.
I wouldn't fight you.
Yeah.
That would be a big mistake for me.
Yeah, it would be.
We'll look at Sam Bradford's first three
games. I don't think I could hurt you, though. I love you too much. I don't think I can bring myself.
I think you catch him. He'd dance around the ring. Well,
first three games, Minnesota. They should have a really bad secondary, right?
I'm not sure about that. They've got some really good players in there. Their pass rush is a huge question mark. But look who their coach is.
At Tampa Bay, they upgraded
their
defense.
That's a really good pass rush, but their secondary I've got questions about.
And Dallas. So I think there's a chance
he's
going
to get off to a very good start. That's part of the reason why I like him.
Then he's got kind of a tough stretch potentially.
I mean, he plays in the NFC West, so that's going to happen.
Let's see. Who else you got here? Carlos Hyde saw the 49ers.
He runs so well.
The 49ers have been in the top seven in rush attempts each of the last three seasons, and I think the top four twice in those three seasons.
And if Kaepernick struggles like he did in that game against Denver, they're going to revert to that run game. And if it's effective, they'll stay with it. That's a strike against Kaepernick, who I've fallen in love with him, and I think he could be great. But you see that preseason game, and you get the Spilkies over him. I think Carlos Hyde is a terrific pick, whether you get Frank Gore or not.
Jordan Matthews and Hakeem Nicks are two wide receivers that you like.
I jumped off the Nicks bandwagon and now have jumped back on because of how he played against the Giants. And hopefully he can take that and build on that and just pretend he's playing against his old team every single week.
Hilton or Wayne in that game.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason. But maybe he showed them something and maybe he can earn more playing time by keeping that up.
You know,
I like him as a late-round pick, and he's not really an old guy. I know he's been around for several years.
His body's old.
Okay, that's fair. His body's old, but he's not, and he's healthy right now, and it's a much better offense.
The way they're running the football,
they could
this
end
has
up
to be Andrew Luck's year, right?
Unless they find another running back.
Yeah, but I don't even know if their offensive line on the interior is going to be good enough. It was a problem last year, and they lost one of their guards for the season already.
Yeah, so, but they didn't have that guard last season. For much of last season.
And it stunk last year. So
it was pretty bad. I wouldn't go, yeah, okay.
I just, the interior, from what I understood, was really bad.
Yeah, and they've tried to address it.
So I think.
And then with Matthews.
Are you getting more excited about Andrew Luck? It's kind of a separate topic. No?
No. Because I'm still worried about the coaching staff being too dedicated to the run.
I just don't know how they're going to succeed like that.
Listen,
you hate
Trent
Richardson. So.
I do. I don't. Hate's a strong word. I don't want to draft him. I actually like him.
Jamie has Luck 6th, and you have him 10th. Interesting.
I like him as a guy, and I hope that he rebounds, but I haven't seen it, so I hate him for fantasy.
You still have Nick Foles 6th.
I love him. And Jordan Matthews is one of the reasons why I had him. I think he's a great young receiver in a nice progressive offense. And if something happens to Macklin or Cooper, both of them have been sidelined by injuries so far. Matthews can step in and play a role. He played a lot in that second preseason game. And I think he's becoming very fluent in that offense, and he's going to be a matchup problem for defenses.
So you like Matthews better than like all the Streeters and the Beckhams? And
I've got Matthews 49th.
All right, so who are some guys ahead of him?
I got, as I look at my rankings now, I have Cooper ahead of him, Doug Baldwin. I'll keep Baldwin ahead of him. Nicks is ahead of him. I don't know if I can stick with that. Anquan's ahead of him. Tavon Austin's ahead of him. That's a mistake. Kenny Stills is ahead of him. That's a mistake. I've got him ahead of Hartline, Cecil Shorts, Jarrett Boykin, Rod Streeter, DeAndre Hopkins. I've got Bo way down just because I don't want him.
I was going to ask you about Anquan Boldin because I think that's a kind of a similar conversation that we were just having.
He is the poster boy for older player that
steady.
People don't – I don't necessarily know if he's steady.
Well,
but people shy away from the old guys.
Well, I was going to say, would you rather have Matthews or Boldin? And this is like the same conversation we were just having, only maybe a few rounds earlier, more high-end guys.
Sure.
Like, you take the younger upside guy compared to the older, steadier veteran.
I like Boldin better in a PPR league because I think you can count on those catches.
You keep saying, you know, these young guys with upside, which is certainly true, but this is why rookie receivers struggle, is because they don't materialize early. And so,
struggle. This is a myth.
It is.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Veteran receivers struggle too. Some rookie receivers
have huge years.
There's certainly more examples of rookie receivers having bad years than good years.
There are, but we're also talking about what's been considered the best rookie best wide receiver draft.
For Matthews to be a relevant fantasy receiver this year, Jeremy Macklin's got to be hurt.
Okay.
And Cooper has to be hurt.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying he's great.
Because you're still talking about the fourth option at best. Fifth option at best.
Yeah. All right, then.
Does Matthews have more upside in their passing attack than Darren Sproles?
If you don't like Riley Cooper, probably not. He takes over Riley Cooper.
Yeah, but it's not liking Riley Cooper in relation to where he was a year ago. I think Riley Cooper is going to have more fantasy production if healthy than Jordan Matthews. I think Macklin's going to have more production than Matthews.
Cooper.
I think Ertz is going to have more production than Matthews. I think Sproles is going to have more production.
He's a deeper league target.
I'm not drafting Jordan Matthews in standard leagues, in redraft leagues. I would take him in dynasty and keeper leagues. I think, you know, half the names that you mentioned, Dave, I would take them over Jordan Matthews. I understand the upside. I mean, clearly, you know, the passing attack there supports production. I think I just don't think that they're going to throw the ball with as much success as you do. And I think that Matthews is going to be one of those rookie receivers that puts up good numbers, but, you know, falls more in line with DeAndre Hopkins and Tavon Austin.
Okay, so maybe the rule with Matthews could be if he doesn't do anything great in those first three or four games, you cut him. Just like we were saying about Odell Beckham, if Beckham gets off to a cold start, you're
but
not going to hang
think
on to him.
The problem is that people are, you know, when Matthews has that game with the majority of his production coming against twos and threes without Macklin and Cooper on the field, it's just another one of these guys that get a little overhyped based on where
and
they probably really are.
I know they love him. I know they're really bullish on him in Philadelphia.
All right. Moving on to new sleepers for you, or as Dave put it, new hotness.
New hotness.
Jonathan Grimes, James White, Ronnie Hillman, John Brown, and Kenbrell Tompkins.
And this is more, these are guys that might show up with your last pick or second to last pick. Maybe in the case of White, a little bit higher than that because his name's been tossed around, but he just hasn't shown it in the preseason. So maybe
I don't
maybe
think
that
you're getting Hillman that late.
Yeah, maybe around 12 or around 11 for Hillman. Around 11 max.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think people are going high on Hillman.
Okay.
But there's a chance that Monte Ball isn't ready to go for the start of the season, and that's Denver's starting running back week one against Indianapolis.
Jonathan Grimes makes a lot of sense. I mean,
right, that's Arian Foster's
probably no chance Foster
right
plays
now.
16.
Right.
It'd be surprising, right?
And it's I don't think Jonathan Grimes is a great talent. He would just be a guy who sees the majority of touches for Houston if Arian Foster goes down. Whether he hangs on to that remains to be seen. They've got Alfred Blue on the roster, and our boy Blue was a nice-looking running back in the draft process. He just went late because he can only do certain things. But, again, we're talking about a late-round pick, a guy that – what's the harm? If it's round 12 for Hillman or Grimes and you take him, whether you're handcuffing him to Foster or Ball or not – It's a lottery ticket, and if it doesn't work out early on, then somebody will break out. Maybe one of these other guys will break out, and you make the move off waivers.
Who do you like better, John Brown or Kenbrell Tompkins?
As of now, it's John Brown. I'm really interested to see what Tompkins' role is in this third preseason game. And I liked what I saw from him in the Patriots' second preseason game, and I really like Tom Brady basically – making sweet love to Kenbrell after the touchdown catch in the second preseason game. I think that Brady really wants to get Tompkins going. I think Brady knows he needs another outside receiver to start stepping up for him. And for whatever it's worth, this is a guy Chad Johnson was high on last season, and he got off to a so-so start. I know he was a hot name last preseason. And again, a flyer. Someone we might be taking with a very late pick, just in case.
Are we overlooking Danny Amendola?
It's Dobson. Dobson is the guy that's going to cut into Tompkins.
I think there's
according
a chance
to the
that
New England media, when Dobson's healthy, they couldn't pump this guy enough. I mean, the whole offseason. He can't get on the field. That's the problem with him right now. But he's going to supplant both LaFell and Tompkins when healthy. It's can he stay on the field for 16 games?
But Amendola still stays on the field, right?
Yeah, but Amendola is more of a situational slot guy. When he goes in, you know, who's the outside guy between him and Edelman? They kind of just mix and match that whole group. But in terms of who should be their best outside guy, at least according to what the people following that team say, I mean, it's Dobson. Physically, Dobson is their best outside receiver.
Okay. Do you draft him?
Were these the same people that really liked Sudfeld last year?
No.
As a replacement for Gronk?
No.
Okay.
That would be me.
That was us.
That was us.
Emails. Oh, wait, no. Do you draft Aaron Dobson?
I would draft him over Tompkins. I would draft. I mean,
I'm not really intent to drafting either one of them unless we're talking a longer draft, a deeper draft. If you're in a 14
yes.
or 15 round draft, I don't think I'm taking either one.
Totally agree.
But if we're round 17 is where you're going to take your kicker and you're in round 15 or 16 and you still have sleepers to add to your roster, maybe you're in a keeper league. I'm in a keeper league like that. Tompkins and Dobson would both be on my radar. I'll take the healthier guy right now.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and put football podcast in the subject line. And here we go. Russell from a van down by the river. Dear Hogan, Klink, and Schultz.
I know what that's from.
What is it?
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should have guessed that one. What are your thoughts on drafting Calvin Johnson number one in a 12-team PPR league if you're not comfortable with the receivers you end up with at the end of round two?
Are you going to be comfortable with the running backs that are available at the end of round two?
Probably more so than the receivers, right?
I think so.
Because all those elite receivers are gone.
Who are the receivers that you might see at the end of round two? I think
in a PPR league,
Alshon might make it there. Cobb might make it there.
Oh, Cobb should definitely be there. It usually ends at Alshon.
Right.
Yeah, it's Cobb, it's Fitzgerald, it's Crabtree, it's Vincent Jackson, it's Andre Johnson.
And in a PPR league, those guys are fine. Like, I think that they're much stronger fantasy options in a PPR compared to a standard.
Now, Alshon and Antonio Brown and Cobb get pushed up from late round two, early round three. They get pushed up, and you've now turned the draft on its head by taking Calvin Johnson with the first overall pick, if that's the route you go. He said 10-team or 12-team?
12.
Okay. So
there's going to be some running backs there.
Well, not only that, again, we're bullish. We don't take quarterbacks early, but the public does. So probably one, two, maybe three quarterbacks go also. So now you're talking about coming back to you in that round two, three swing. Could be Stacy, could be Martin, could be Foster, could be Morris, could be Lynch. It's not bad.
No,
because now you've penciled in. Let's just say, you know, we like to say go running back to receivers. Well, now you go receiver to running backs, and it's Calvin, Lynch, and Morris. Now, they're not great in PPR leagues, but they still help you.
Yeah, but the thing that you might be missing is, not you, but just in general, is you take Jamal Charles number one, how many catches is Jamal Charles going to have?
60-plus.
You get so many catches from those.
That's why we would
backs.
Take the running back and pass on
right,
Calvin.
But I look, it goes back to the discussion what we started with Charles banged up and McCoy banged up and people that get scared. And so, like, this is the perfect example. Somebody who's considering it already before the injuries, I would assume. And so how do you feel most comfortable with your team? And let's just say it's not one of those running backs that I mentioned. What if it's Ellington, who we like more
that
in a PPR
nice,
league?
Yeah. Then, I even think it's possible Monte Ball falls.
Well, the interesting part of that's a very good question, is how much do people run away from Monte Ball?
Yeah, I mean, in a PPR league, he went like 16th in our PPR league.
Right.
And that's without any quarterbacks being taken.
And we're bullish on him, too.
And we like Monte Ball. So I think there's a chance he falls. And just remember, Noshawn Moreno caught a ton of balls last year.
60.
So that could be a good guy to get.
It's also, you know,
I mean, you would take Monte Ball at the end of the second round.
Oh, if you went
right?
Calvin Johnson, Monte Ball, Andre Ellington, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think also he shouldn't overlook taking another receiver there, too, if it falls.
Sure. So you can do it. I know you guys wouldn't, but you could do it, Russell. And that's why you live in a van down by the river. Vince, where's Vince from?
Paducah, Kentucky.
I don't know how confident I feel about my running backs this year. I was wondering if I screwed things up with my first two picks. 10-team PPR league. Vince from Paducah, Kentucky?
Paducah.
Paducah, Kentucky. Had the 10th pick in a PPR league out of 10. He went Demaryius Thomas 1 and Aaron Rodgers 2. So he ended up with Rodgers, Ray Rice, Toby Gerhart, Monte Ball, Joyke Bell, and Kyrie Robinson. Demaryius Thomas, Cordarrelle Patterson, Sammy Watkins, Danny Amendola, and Josh Gordon.
Hmm.
Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos, and Dan Bailey. I don't see a tight end here. So he forgot to give us that.
Maybe he doesn't have to start one.
The fact that he got Monte Ball
really
in the third round,
yeah, that saved his goat.
Changes things. Does not have good wide receiver depth, really. Demaryius, Cordarrelle.
It'll swing on Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
On whether or not he's got that depth now, and he could always dump Bridgewater and find a wide receiver.
It's not a
waivers.
Bad team.
I don't think it's a bad team.
Is.
For a 10-team league, it's probably not the best in the league, but he's got a stud quarterback.
Yeah.
He's got good running back depth with a potential stud running back in Monte. We like Monte a lot.
I can't wait to draft.
Demaryius and Patterson is a nice 1-2 combo at wide receiver.
I can't wait to draft with non-CBSSports.com people because I'm going to get a great value on Monte Ball.
You don't know that.
I just feel like you guys got so many questions before the injury. How do you have him in your first round, this and that? Like, people were doubting it to begin with, and then I haven't seen it on other sites. I'll go to that ADP site and see.
What's the
which
ADP
one?
Site?
What is it that has all the ADP?
Which one is it?
Fantasy Football Calculator is one. Or My Fantasy League, one of the two.
They both that wasn't ADP. The one I was thinking of, but I'll look, sure. Fantasy Football Calculator. Let's see where Monte Ball is going. In a standard scoring league, running back.
This is so enthralling. Adams on the computer.
14th.
And not that. 14th among running backs or 14th overall?
Overall.
Yeah,
8th among running backs.
And on CBSSports.com, he's at 13.95.
Really? I'm surprised.
Well, that site also takes into account our ADP.
Adam is befuddled.
15th. All right, 15th PPR. So maybe I won't. Maybe I'm wrong, as usual. Justin from Iowa. Dear, insert something clever because I am not. Dear. Homer, Bart, and Lisa, and FXX is a channel that is airing every Simpsons episode in order, beginning on Thursday.
It's a funny commercial.
I didn't see it.
They said, we only have 20 seconds to tell you why The Simpsons is the greatest show ever.
Oh.
It was funny during the telecast. Who had the game? Sunday? Sunday was the Panthers game.
Yes. There's on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't see that commercial. Every Simpsons ever in order. How about that? Okay, 10-team standard keeper league. One quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, and a flex. Keepers cost you the round drafted and then subtract two rounds per year. I want Gordon bad since it's a keeper league and it will be such a great future value. How early do I take him? 10-team keeper league.
I think where you would pretty much take him in a 10-team standard non-keeper league, round 11, round 10 maybe?
He wants to make sure he gets him though. So I'd say round 9 because you can recover and rent in a 10-team league. And then you get him for round 7 the following year, which if he's back and playing like the guy that he knows.
And then round 5 the year after that, and then round 3 even there the year after that. I don't know if he's going to be that guy. It really depends on what the suspension is.
Yep. How about this?
I thought he looked like crap last night.
12-team keeper league. Would you draft with your second to last pick before your kicker? Justin Blackmon.
It's interesting you say that because I'm in a situation where anybody drafted after round 9 you keep forever. And so I had Josh Gordon, which really annoys me that I have to make a decision to throw him back. Mm-hmm. But if you believe that he's going to ever play again.
I mean, he will be, but then he'll be second to all-pro receiver Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
Jaguars are going to bring him back.
Maybe not the Jaguars. Okay, good. Good point. They're loaded at receiver.
Who can tell you that that's a waste of a pick?
No, I think
because even if he never plays football again, it's hard to say. Right.
Well, the only problem though is
not a waste.
And this I did this in two leagues. I'm counting on it paying off for me this year. I took Percy Harvin last year, knowing that he was going to miss most of the season.
I did that with Crabtree too.
And Crabtree, another good example. You know, you have to just burn a roster spot if you're counting on this to come to fruition.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult. I know I found myself because there's several players, and we've talked about this with the bye weeks. If you draft guys on the week 4 bye and you have to make several moves, you can end up being stuck.
Two more emails here. Cody in Wilhelm, Wisconsin. Reuben Randall or Justin Jag Hunter? Standard scoring.
Be funny if that ends up being his nickname.
I've toyed with that. And moving Cooks at him, because I think I had Randall 34, Cooks 35, and Hunter 36, and moving Randall behind all of them. I still think Randall's going to have a good enough season.
Me too.
That he'll be at least on par with them. So, if you're a Hunter guy and you're in that camp, then take Hunter.
Couldn't you take them in consecutive rounds? Go Reuben Randall and then Justin Hunter the very next pick?
Andrew from Auburn, Alabama. Grade the trade. I'll remind you guys how grade the trade works, since you struggled with this last year.
No, you struggled with the concept.
No.
Go ahead.
A C is average.
A fair deal.
Yes. So if this guy gets a C+ or better, it means you think he won the trade. C- or worse, he lost.
He lost.
All right, no, we're changing this now.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not. This is
one
Jamie.
1-5. 3 is average.
3 is average. This is the same exact thing.
It's the same exact thing.
8 through F, 1 through 5.
All Jamie, right. We're going to stick with it. We're going to do what Adam says.
Okay.
Grade the trade. C.J. Spiller and Jeremy Maclin for Giovanni Bernard.
I give it like an 89.
I like it. I think, you know, you're getting Bernard. You're getting the best player.
Okay, so B plus from Dave.
Yep.
How about you?
I think pretty good.
I think it's very good.
You refuse?
Refuse what?
To give it a grade?
I did. I said pretty good.
I hate you guys.
Sounds like B plus to me.
All right.
He gave it a Daniel Bryan.
So how would Scott grade the trade?
Scott would say, all right, you're giving up Bernard for Spiller and Maclin. I'd say, no. He's getting Bernard. Scott always mixes it up. But then he would actually give a grade, unlike you.
What about Al?
Al's a former teacher. He nails this stuff. So.
My mom's a teacher. My wife's a teacher.
Then you should have no problem.
Teachers are weird.
We are out of here. We're back.
Even do the team names.
Oh, crap. Team names.
Maybe some of these names
Justin
will
from
inspire
Boston.
People.
Justin from Boston says, ladies and Edelman.
Not bad.
And Badanka Gronk.
I like that. That's an 89 as well.
Yeah. From Thomas. We got actually a few of these. You have to spell Sean like Sean Green, S-H-O-N-N. The Sean Sankey Redemption. I think you could go Sean Sank Redemption.
Or the Shaw Sankey Redemption.
You could do that, yeah. Parker from Fairhope, Alabama. Daenerys Targaryen.
I like a lot of the Game of Thrones names.
Anthony, Carolina Wine Mixer. Now, I'm not sure how to pronounce that because it's a Panthers reference and a Step Brothers
Carolina.
Reference. Yeah, but the movie is Catalina
right,
Wine
but
Mixer.
The city, the team name is Carolina.
I know, but then it doesn't really
Carolina?
Work.
Carolina?
It doesn't work.
You don't
Carolina
work.
Wine Mixer. Eddie Bouton, It Hurts When Eifert.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I think that one's funny.
Ben Mitchell, Hurts So Good. Gotta love Mellencamp. Ryan from Minneapolis. My favorite team name is Kelly Offense, but for my image, I use Kelly Kapowski. It's good.
Well, you get an A on the logo.
Yeah. And from Tyler, you are not a father.
And that logo could be Maury Povich.
Yeah. From Drake, Bridgewater, I barely knew her.
Mm-hmm.
It needs work. Needs work.
A little clever.
And Tyler, my homage to Breaking Bad, Los Mocoyos Hermanos. That is excellent. Mm-hmm. Very.
See, these were good. Very,
they
were bad.
Well, no, I had to
sift through. Badonka Gronk is my favorite.
Badonka Gronk is great. Ladies and gentlemen, Badonka Gronk. Well done, Justin from Boston. We'll see you Saturday at the draft party.
And somebody in the league last night that's named after you, who missed the draft. Hey, guys, in the Dave Richards division.
Whatever.
All right, see you later.
Bye.